So hi everybody, welcome to the Overeaters Anonymous Recovery from Relapse meeting. Today is Tuesday, the 23rd of April 2024, and we are delighted to have Pete B will be our speaker today. So Pete first came into OA around 2004-2005, became entirely abstinent around May 2017 and has been recovered since August of 2017. Originally from New York, but he currently resides in Pennsylvania. So Pete, it is over to you.
Thank you, Alan. Thank you, everybody. Good afternoon, good morning. Actually, we got all the bases covered with regard to time zone in here. I know a lot of folks like me are on their third hour of meetings this morning, but in any case, so my name is Pete B. I'm, as Alan said, I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm recovered today by God's grace and mercy. I live in Pennsylvania. You got the stats on, you know, my journey in recovery. You know, I was, you know, technically I'm a 100-pounder. You know, I've weighed 300 pounds and 200 pounds in the same year. So technically I qualify from that perspective. And I have a little bit of questions about the recovery, the relapse part of it. You know, and I'll tell you why in a little bit, you know, so stick with me. Don't bail out. Let me get my timer going. Sorry about that. So just to level, make sure we're all on the same page. I identify as a compulsive overeater. And what I mean by that is that I compulsively, in spite of all of my willpower and all of the resources I put towards it, in spite of all of my plans, all of the people I hired, all of the friends I gathered, right? I back to using substances that I became aware and I know are harmful to me. And the reason what makes them harmful to me is that they cause an abnormal reaction, that if I ingest them, I get an allergy, a reaction that causes me to not be satisfied with the amount I'm taking and only requires me to want more of them. And most of the time have to eat more of them, right? So that's my compulsive, that's the physical aspect of the condition I have. I also have a mental part of that disease that minimizes the significance and the severity of the physical aspect of my disease. I treat my condition, I treat my physical component of my disease by being entirely abstinent. And I treat the mental component of my disease by having a spiritual experience as a result of working the 12 steps of recovery. You know, I also said that I'm recovered. Definition of the word recovered means that I've returned to normal. Say normal, I don't mean I'm like Alan or Susie or Barry. I mean, I've been returned to the state that I believe my creator would have me be. My state, the creator made me be aware of threats, be aware of things that I know are harmful, to not put my hand in a hot flame because I know it'll burn me. Working these steps, aligning my will with God's, I've been returned to the state of normalcy that the creator intended me to be. What I am, have question in my mind that this power has restored me to, that this power that I've tapped into has restored me to sanity, right thinking. I found my way for Eaters Anonymous through Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm going to try not to talk a lot about my experience in AA. All I'm going to say is this. At some point in time, alcoholism and alcohol became a way bigger problem for me than compulsively overeating. It was a situation that had to be addressed. And I did not have the resources or the capabilities to address it. And against all of my intentions, I went to Alcoholics Anonymous. I worked the program of Alcoholics Anonymous by putting down the drink. I had a spiritual experience. I walked hand in hand with somebody through the steps. I became recovered. And to this day, I have not returned to using alcohol for the same reason I don't use food, because it causes an abnormal reaction. But way before that, for as far back as I could remember, an abnormal reaction to food. I hated being a fat kid. I hated that kids didn't pick me to be on their team. I hated that adults would talk about how fat I was while I was in the room, and used to say how it's going to change, he's going to outgrow it. I hated the fact that adults would talk about my anatomy and say that I needed to wear girls' garments because of my chest was fatter than it should be. I despised the fact that girls had no interest in me. I remember clearly remember some of the first things people telling me was, get away from that food. Boom. Some of the most joyful memories I have as a child was being in my swimming pool in the backyard. I don't know if they have this in the UK, but just out of the corner of my ear, I would hear the jingle bells of the ice cream truck. And the very next thought was, I'm going to get some money to get some of those things that I want. And I would, and you know what? I wasn't the only one. Everybody in that pool with me was feeling the same way. Everybody ran as fast as they could to the ice cream truck. Everybody. The difference, that what makes me not like other people is they had theirs. They got their fill and they went back to doing what they wanted to do. And all I could think about after I ate that was how I was going to get more of it. How I was going to get more of it. And you know what's funny? I knew it was food. I grew up in the 70s and 80s. You know what I mean? Like, they had Jack LaLanne and the South Beach Diet. And, there was some lady, she used to talk about stop the insanity with these exercises. I knew it was food. See, I just didn't know, and neither did anybody else around me know, that there was something about me that is different than other people. And what's different is that these foods, when I ingest them, they cause me to have more of them, right? That I had a delusion that I was like other people. I didn't stay fat with big breasts. I'll try to keep this G-rated over here. I didn't stay that way. I had experience where the weight came off. You know what I mean? I followed those things, but I always heard what people said and held on to this idea that somehow, some way, eventually, I'll be able to go back to using those foods in moderation, and I'll be able to control and manage them. See, like I said, I thought I was like other people. And what I've learned, a lot in Overeaters Anonymous, but I learned even more from food, that I am not like other people, I'll never be like other people, and the condition I have is only getting worse and will never, ever, ever get better. I also know this. People all the time saying, this is why they ate. This is why we went to food. This is, it was because of this that happened in my youth. And I'm not minimizing trauma. I'm not minimizing feeling awkward as a child. I felt awkward as a child too. But, the big book calls this condition phenomena, both the physical and the mental part of the disease. They call it phenomena. And phenomena means we know it exists, but we don't know where it came from, right? So we have to stop thinking, understand this thing, because even scientists, you know, the greatest minds of the world don't understand this thing, right? I don't know where I crossed over from being, you know, a hard or moderate eater to the point of being a overeater of the hopeless Friday. I don't know where it occurred. I don't know where it come from. All I know, without any shadow of a doubt, is that I am one. That's it. I also know this. See, I use the AA literature in the program of recovery. I use a 12 and 12, the AA big book. And I also use another big book, the dictionary. It's very valuable. And I would really suggest that when you're getting your instructions and you're rushing your way through the 12 steps so that you can hurry up and start helping people, that you have a comprehension of the words that they use in the big book and understand what they mean relative to this condition. Because what they're saying in the big book regarding the disease of alcoholism and compulsive overeating remains still intact from when they wrote the book till today. The other thing we have to realize is that there are grammatical rules. There's rules of grammar, and it's important that we follow them too, so that we don't get some kind of misunderstanding about what we're out here to do. Now, I don't know why I went down that rat hole, but I still got 20 minutes left, so I'm going to keep on going. I love being recovered. I love being recovered. I love being in a healthy body weight. I love being physically active. I love weighing and measuring my food. I love not living with the guilt, the shame, and the remorse less than what my creator intended me to be, which is a fit, healthy, competent, capable individual using all of the gifts, the qualities, and all of the capabilities that the creator has put in me. Right? Everything in me, including my ego, including my instincts, have all been put there by the creator. And there's no sense in trying to deny that they exist or trying for some ridiculous reason to remove them. See, I believe that I've become right-sized. I have humility. And the word humility means I know exactly what I am, no more, less. And I also have a desire to be and do everything that I can and do. I have a desire to do those things. And you know, by putting down the food and having a spiritual experience, I'm confident. You know, there ain't nobody in here is going to talk me out of it. And I also know this, that if you haven't had that experience, nothing I'm going to say is going to be able to talk you into it. You know, it took me 12 years, a year abstinent. But I'm not going to claim to be, you know, returned from relapse. I'm not going to claim that, you know, because I came into OA. I was in an enthusiastic group of alcoholics that started meetings and had big book studies and used to run around with groups of alcoholics, you know, doing this thing. And we would go out for Chinese food after the meeting went to. And one of these young ladies joined us after the meeting, and I look across the table, and she was overweight, and she pulled out a scale, And she took, we were eating family style, and she took a portion that was appropriate for her from the foods that everybody was eating. And I, up until then, I never heard of Overeaters Anonymous. I didn't, you know, I heard of Weight Watchers and the South Beach diet and, you know, all the other things I told you about. And I got intrigued by what she was doing. I mean, everybody was looking. What are you crazy? What are you doing? And I was on, you know, I was already sober for, you know, 7 years. And I got sober and, you know, I got skinny and I got fat and I got fat and I got skinny. You know, I gained 30 pounds, I'd lose 20. I gained 40 pounds, I'd lose 35, you know, all that stuff. Not knowing I'm not like other people. But, and I became entranced. I was like, how could you? And I said, what are you doing? She told me she you know, she's a member of Overeaters Anonymous in addition to Alcoholics Anonymous. And I was like, that's interesting. You know, I had struggled with my weight my whole life. And, you know, I was starting a new job and I was having a lot of difficulties in the job. And I would go home and I would binge eat and then I would get depressed and I would treat the depression with ice cream, you know, it just craziness. And I get more depressed. And finally I said, let me go see what this Overeaters Anonymous is all about. You know, I went to an OA meeting. You know, I was listening. They told me I could define my own abstinence. See, I thought abstinence was a meal plan. And I thought recovered was skinny. And you know what? When you're 35, fat, you know, 4 days a week, you're eating like you're on the, like, you know, like you're training for the Mr. Olympia, but 3 days a week, you're eating like you're the sideshow in the circus. And then you stop that and somebody, you know, a recovered individual acting, doing the things that, you know, I thought they were supposed to do, gives you their meal plan. And he becomes your buddy. And you follow it 6 days a week. You get skinny. And I got what I thought was recover. But you know what the problem was? The problem was I never got abstinent. You know, I put the food down. I've gone 30 days without, you know, following my meal plan and not eating, you know, the substances that they told me were the problem. And they told me where they needed to be in the ingredient list and said that as long as they're not there, I'll be fine. Right. I followed that. Skinny, popular, the girls. I figured I got it. I was, you know, doing this dance in OA, going to meetings, doing all these things, telling everybody how much I knew about the big book and the step book and all these things. I sat down in a meeting one time. They had the We Care book and you're supposed to write your feelings on there. I was like the third person. I wrote, I felt recovered. Like, how do you feel? I said, I feel recovered. Every single person after the book broke out laughing. And then the whole rest of the meeting was how, you know, you're never going to be recovered from this thing. You take the tiger out of the cage three times a day, right? This thing is, if you're not making three phone calls a day, if you're not reporting your food to a sponsor every day, if you're not making commitments to people that you don't know very well, you're going to eat. This is, you never recover from this thing. I started thinking, I said, if you never recover, what's the point? What's the point? And, you know, I did the, I, you know, like I said, for 12 years, you know, OA, FA, how, you know, whatever variety of these gray sheet, white sheet, you know, commercial weight loss programs. I did them all. I did everything. You know, gurus, life coaches, personal trainers. I had no idea. And a lot of the people that I was seeing had no idea what we're really dealing with. both the physical and the mental component of the disease. You know, I never put the food down long enough for all of it to get out of my system so that my system would stop insisting that I put more of it in it, right? That's the addiction that we're talking about. I was physically and mentally dependent on these substances. The thought of living without them was inconceivable. I would claim to be abstinent, and because Diet Coke didn't have an ingredient in it, I would drink 30 of them in a weekend, 30 of them in a sitting, you know, 80 packs of sugar-free gum. Go back to the meeting. I've been abstinent for 15 days. I've never felt so good, right? I loved it. You know, nothing feels as good as being abstinent. Tell that to my teeth that I grinded the enamel off of, right? Tell that, you know what I mean? Tell that to the who knows what damage I did to my body ingesting artificial sweeteners and corn syrup and things like that that have been, they don't even sell it in other countries. Here it's in my kids' breakfast meals. You know what I mean? I'm putting stuff in my system that has been created by the smartest minds in the world to make me want to eat more of them. You know what I mean? Thinking that I'm going to outthink those things or outwork those things or find some other substance I can take in addition to those things that's going to make me want less of them. That lady in the 80s stopped the insanity. That's just straight up insanity. See, I never, in all those 12 years, I never absolutely 100% abolished, eliminated, stopped even considering that I could safely ingest any of the substances that for me caused the phenomena of craving. I said that earlier. I didn't say this. The first step in recovery is that I concede to my innermost self that I have this condition, which means if I concede that I have it, I have to understand what it is. I have to understand the significance of it. The second part of that is that the delusion that I'm like other people, it doesn't matter that Susie can eat cauliflower crusted pizza. It doesn't matter. I have to know that I can't. It doesn't matter that they can drink Diet Coke. I can't. It doesn't matter that this is acceptable this sheet, but not acceptable in this sheet. I have to know what I can and cannot eat. You know, I was sick and tired of Overeaters Anonymous. I was sick and tired of the frustrating, comprehensively demoralizing position that food was putting me in. I was super frustrated. I adopted a meditation practice. I would sit down every day and I'd ask my God of my understanding to please guide me and direct me. And the thought that would come to my mind was stop eating those foods. The ability to stop eating those foods. I knew it. I just couldn't do it. The idea of going 30 days, the idea of going 90 minutes without those foods made my heart palpitate. And I started thinking to myself, well, shit, I'm not going back to OA. I know it doesn't work. It's not going to work. And I found a meeting that happened to meet at a time when I could get away from my family and I could listen. It was a phone meeting, so I wouldn't have to put up with the hugs and I wouldn't have to put up with the claps and I wouldn't have to put up with the we care sheet and all that stuff. And I started listening and I heard people talk about this talk about being recovered. I heard them talk about going decades without ingesting a Kit Kat bar. I said I couldn't go 30 minutes without finding a reason to go to the corner gas station down the block from my house and getting a Hershey bar. You know, but so I started to suspect that they were on to something. but I still wasn't convinced. You know, I had contacted a concierge, a medical concierge, and I had decided that I was going to get the fat on my body that I still had a problem with, because I wasn't morbidly obese. If I took off my shirt at a Walmart, I would probably win a competition for being one of the better bodies. You know what I mean? But I wasn't free. I wasn't, like I said, I wasn't morbidly obese. As far as the American standard goes, I was probably slim. You know what I mean? I was, but I was 50 pounds overweight. And I thought to myself, you know what? I contacted this medical concierge, and I was getting ready to go to another country, and I was going to get all the fat sucked off my body, and then, you know, I'd manage it from once I got to that, I'd manage it from there. And you know, the other part of my problem is that I'm super cheap as well, and you know, I like to call it frugal. My wife tells me I'm cheap. And I said, you know what? Let me see what these people are talking about. And you know, I called in. I've called in over, you know, probably 2 or 3 years. You know, say some nonsense, and then, you know, listen for a couple months. And I listened to a special edition one day, and you know, I was meditating, and I asked God to grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, and to change the thing I can, and the courage to know, and the wisdom to know the difference. And I heard this speaker speak, and I said the first thing that came to my mind after I lied and told them I was a different name because I didn't want anybody to know it was me on the line. And I said, how do you start? How do you start? And I'm so grateful that she didn't on the line get into, you know, get a sponsor, go to 90 meetings, go to 70. All I got was, why don't you give me a call? And when I called her, I told her about everything I knew about how long I've been in recovery. She was also in AA, and she was about sober 6 years. I was getting ready to celebrate my 20th year sober. And she basically, you know, she didn't say, you know, let's start reading the doctor's opinion. I could recite it to her. But she took me to the page in the big book where it says that the only thing we can expect to get is relief from the phenomena of craving by being entirely abstinent. And I had no, I didn't even know what entirely abstinent was. How do you get abstinent? All food gives me the phenomenon of craving. And that's not accurate. It's not accurate for anybody. Well, maybe it is, you know, because, you know, this disease, Overeaters Anonymous, Roseanne got the information of Overeaters Anonymous from Gamblers Anonymous, right? Gamblers Anonymous is a process disorder. It's a process addiction. Alcoholism is a substance issue, right? So we take the influence from Gamblers Anonymous and the program of recovery from Alcoholics Anonymous. There are people that have, you know, they could be people that have this condition where they just got to jam food in every hole of their body because it's food. But my condition, right? Remember, the delusion that I'm like other people has been smashed. My condition is that I have an abnormal reaction to certain foods. I couldn't figure out what the foods were. I had a lot of difficulty figuring out what the foods were. So she told me to make a list. I put the likely suspects, right? Sugar, flour, artificial sweeteners, right? All the things you hear, nuts, you know. I could eat 40 pounds of roasted salted nuts, no problem. She said, if you didn't know exactly what it is, why don't you just pick three that you know won't be a problem? Make it vegetables, protein, and fat. As close to, you know, mine made the decision to have them as close to the way the creator made them as possible. And I made a decision that I was going to do everything that this person told me to do, exactly how they told me to do it, in the way they told me to do it. And if it doesn't work, I'm going to go to Argentina and I'm going to get the work done that I had planned on doing. I actually picked her because she didn't sound like somebody I thought could help me. You know, she was Jewish. She was Mexican. She was brown. You know what I mean? I didn't know that she was on the phone, but I was like, I don't know. I don't think she could do it. And you know what? She did was took my hand and put my hand in the hand of God and showed me the information relevant to this condition in the big book that pointed out the truth about the condition, and the process for having a spiritual experience. I'm just going to go real quick to the third step because I only have a minute and a half left about. You know, I got to the point where I was ready an entire abstinence to have to do the third step. And I told my sponsor, she says, okay. She goes, just so you know, when you make a decision and you turn your life and will over to the care of God, as you understand God, you understand the nature of your condition. And if you eat again, you can't consider yourself sober anymore because you're aware of the condition. And I was like, what do you mean? If I eat, I got to give back all those shiny coins I have on my desk. Got to start counting days again. And then she says, well, you know, look, if you underestimate this disease will kill you. It may not kill you tomorrow, but it'll kill you. And worse than that, you're going to live with all that guilt, shame, and remorse and blame that we all bring into these rooms. And it's going to be indefinite. And it was a difficult proposition to wrap my mind around. And then I realized when I looked back at my history, the reason why I never had any success, although I did get skinny and fat and skinny and fat and skinny and fat, the reason why I never had any real success or long-term recovery is because I never took the condition as serious as it needs to be taken in order to recover from it. And I always thought if the going gets rough, if things just get difficult enough, I can have a pint of ice cream or four scoops of peanut butter in the middle of the night. And then I can come back and start counting my days again. Shit, the fellowship would even give me a round of applause and tell me, welcome back. Welcome back. And I made the decision at that point in time. I'm going to shut up with this. I made the decision at that point in time that I would merge my recoveries together. I did so. I continued working the steps in entire abstinence. I cleaned up the wreckage of my past and present. And I had a spiritual experience. And as a result, I stand before you a recovered man with pride and dignity, with all of the gifts, all of the resources, all of the capabilities that have been provided to me by the Creator. And I'm super grateful for this opportunity, and I'll shut up. Thank you.